Hello everyone and welcome back to our second club preview in our Clubs in Days series. Today I am joined by Will and we are talking about the Gold Coast Suns. Will, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and very excited to be talking about the Gold Coast.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a favourite of yours. I swear you've talked about them almost every season you've been our analyst for them.
I think I have, and it saddens me to say that the overview isn't as thrilling as it was last year. Unfortunately, the Suns did finish 17th on the ladder, hence why this is our second review. Just the solitary win as well as a draw, 54.7%. A really disappointing year after, you know, making a final.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you can look back and you can say, you know, maybe they should have had that win over Collingwood and another close one against the Blues. You know, they were so close against the Giants as well with that draw. But at the end of the day, that 54% is kind of damning.
Yeah, exactly. And they've lost some big names as well, particularly Captain Tara Bahana requesting a trade back to Melbourne. That's a big loss. They've lost a fair bit of their depth as well. The main one being probably Viv Saad in the back line. Alana G probably a bit stiff, and then a few others. But they have made up for it a little bit with the ins. Lily Mithen, a really good trade-in, brings experience from Melbourne. And we all knew that they were going to have a ripping draft hand, and, well, that really did pan out.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible when you can trade away pick two in the draft and then still pick up the second draft. That's that Academy promise up there.
Yeah, they've basically traded away pick two and still got the best player. You can't do better than that in the draft.
Oh, it's pretty incredible. Well, we've actually had a little bit of an insight into not this year's draftees, but one of recent years, with Mel getting the chance to talk to Taya Oliver. And brilliant little chat. Let's throw to that now.
Hello and welcome to Free Kick. I'm Mel and today I'm joined by one of the Suns 2024 breakout players, Tay Oliver. Tay, how's it going?
It's going really well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So you've had an interesting journey into the AFLW. Would you mind giving us a little bit of a recap of how you got here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't play a whole bunch of footy across my career. I played mostly school footy growing up in Victoria, and Victoria school sports is kind of one and done scenario throughout the year. So you kind of go out, you verse a few teams, and then that's pretty much it for the rest of the term, unless you do really well, in which case you go forward and stuff. But I played probably like 8 or 9 games total across my high school career. And then just after COVID happened, I moved up here with my parents to Brisbane. And I was kind of looking for a way to make friends just after COVID kind of had leveled out a little bit in Brisbane. So I looked up local footy clubs near me, and I was living at Woolloongabba at the time. So the closest was Coorparoo. So I messaged on Facebook and was just like looking for a team to go through to. So messaged them. They told me to come down for a training session. It pretty much happened all pretty fast. I went down, had one training session, a little bit anxious around starting something new. So I think I took a step back for like, I think I started training for like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, took a step back for a little bit, and then got a message from a couple of the girls that I met there being like, hey, where'd you go? Like, we thought you were here for good. What's going on? And I was like, oh yeah, I kind of hurt myself a little bit, but I think I'll come back. And then end up playing 6 weeks with the reserve side there in 2021. Towards the end of the season, that was the year we played Bond in the grand final. And then the next year I got moved up to seniors in 2022. Played seniors all except maybe 1 or 2 games. And then 2023 was kind of where it got pretty serious. I played seniors the whole way through. That was the year that they brought the state competition back. So it's a lot of incentive to keep playing footy. And then I got drafted at the end of 2023 for the start of 2024.
Crazy. That is such a, that's such a speedy from like a couple of games in high school to playing for the AFLW.
Yeah, quite a fast kind of scenario that I got, kind of threw myself into it, and then it all worked out really, really well. It's kind of whirlwind, but it's quite cool.
Yeah, that's got to feel great. And I noticed that you were drafted number 44 and you also played wearing number 44 last season. Is that is that on purpose?
That is on purpose, yeah. I played with the number 30 when I was at Kupru in my like kind of breakout year in 2023. But my good friend Keels, she copped the number 30. She also played number 30 when she was playing for Bendigo and Coach League and stuff. So she nabbed that one pretty quickly. So I thought the next best thing was to just go with the one that I've been drafting under. So yeah.
Yeah, love it. I think that's very cool. And then so like when you debuted last season, you debuted in the double week. So like two games straight up and then played every game after that. How was like that for a hectic start to your season?
Oh, it was quite crazy. Yeah, we were having a fun time during the condensed fixture. We spent 10 days down in Melbourne. We played Collingwood that Friday and, you know, all the girls, we went and watched the girls that were playing, just like eager to get out there. But I think it was just... it was really nice to get around the girls and support them during that time. And then obviously we played Hawthorn on the Wednesday night, so literally 5 days later. So straight away, like coming into that, it was quite crazy. I remember I was out to breakfast with one of the staff members who does our GPS stuff, Brando. And as we got back from brekkie, I got like a message being like, "Hey, are you around? Like, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I just got back from breakfast. Was I not supposed to be at breakfast or no? Like, did I leave when I wasn't supposed to?" And then, like, obviously went down into the lobby, met Joycey, and that kind of happened quite fast. It was quite cool. And then, yeah, obviously playing Essendon literally 3 days later and then just kind of played out the rest of the season. It was quite cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great start to the season.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And, like, you also had a massive impact. So looking at towards the end of the season, you ranked third for average goals per game with 0.7, which is... only slightly behind skipper Taro Pahana, or last year's skipper, and vice-captain Jack Depay, who were both on 0.8 average. Like, that is a crazy impact to have straight away. What's your main takeaway? How do you feel about that impact that you've had and how you're going to carry it forward?
I think the main thing was just, you know, the coaches gave me creative liberty in the way that I was playing, and one of the other girls as well, like Elise Barwick, and I both kind of got that role of high forward and just being able to play quite a defensive, chaotic kind of role where we, like, our job was basically just to, if the ball came in, lock it in and just, like, crumb the ball and do whatever we can to keep it into where we are. And so starting off like that was, honestly, I have no idea how it happened. But the coaches definitely gave us a little bit of creative liberty around that and just being, like, you're quite an instinctual player, just kind of go off your instincts and where you are and play around with it. I think we had quite a sturdy kind of starting positions in our forward system at the start of the year during the pre-season period where it was like we were very structured. And then I think as we went on and realised that we've got a lot of girls in our team that don't really thrive off a lot of structure, they kind of gave us that liberty of just like go where you want to go, stick to the kind of the system so that everybody knows where you are, and then work off that and just really take it and run with it. And I think, yeah, I think I did really well with that, I think.
Yeah, definitely played to your strengths then. I mean, speaking of coaches, now season 2025, there's a new senior coach in Reece Shaw. How's that change feel? And like, what's his main message to the group been so far?
He's been awesome. We really were on the front foot this year. I think with Shorey, he really wanted to get to know us and learn about us and learn how we played and all that kind of stuff. So we were doing little pickup sessions every now and then during the pre-season period of just like getting to know each other, coming and doing little skills blocks and all that kind of stuff with most of our teammates and stuff, just so that he could get a vibe of, you know, how we played, who we were as people and all that kind of stuff, which was really good. He's been great so far. We've really focused on intensity and our intent to get our heads over the footy and really just have a lot of intent with the things that we're doing, and then having that travel through to anything that we're doing, whether it's conditioning or even running off to get a drink. If we're running off to get a drink, we're going to be the best person running off and getting a drink. We're doing everything with intent, and he's really focused us along that, which is good.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds like it'll be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of other big changes that we had coming into this season, so as we kind of alluded to before, skipper Taro Pahana has departed for Blues. She was actually our first Gold Coast interviewee.
Yep.
In terms of filling that hole in the forward line, what's kind of the approach so far? Is it going to be like a rotation and next player in, or is there someone that's really going to like take that role?
There hasn't really been, I don't think like necessarily it's been like a hole to fill. I think it's more just we're very centered around helping each other out, not necessarily having one specific player that's, you know, that's like our go-to or anything like that. We're quite a good system going at the moment where it's a work together quite system. We're moving around a lot and we're kind of feeling a flow on just how other people work. And I think that's where it comes down to, like, Shori and our other coaches and stuff, and just giving us that flow feel of, like, we know our players, we're all getting to know each other again. Like, this is a brand new opportunity of us understanding who each other is, and on the field and off the field and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite a fun forward line at the moment, where we're learning how each other plays, and we're moving in and out of spots, and just having that rotation is quite cool.
Is there anyone that you've particularly enjoyed training alongside this preseason or playing with last season?
Oh, everyone is just, I think this year there's quite a big shift in the way that we are with each other, and there's genuinely not even one person that you could really call out when it comes to who you want to train next to and who you really feel that. Like, I think it's very, very baseline around all of us that we're all genuinely enjoying each other's company and how we're training together. It's really cool.
Nice. As well, coming into season 2025, Gold Coast have picked up another 5 draftees,
yep.
As well as having, like, a handful of young players the year before, including yourself. Mm-hmm. So someone that looks quite exciting is draft pick number 2 in Havana Harris.
Yep.
Is she someone that we might be seeing in the forward line this season?
She's quite a versatile player. It wouldn't surprise me if you saw her in almost every line. She's doing really, really well and developing really, really well. She's quite a funny person on and off the field. I think her intent around everything has just been amazing. She, you know, her presence in any line is quite good. Sitting in the forward line with us and again, part of that flow, we're all quite cool with learning how each other works and that kind of stuff. But yeah, she's doing amazingly. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely a possibility of seeing her in there.
Yeah, I think she'll be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, speaking of interesting to watch as well, like, you can't go past the Suns midfield. Just absolutely dynamic with Rowbottom and Whitford in there. I feel like, yep, Reece Shaw's coming into a winning combo there, and there's so much that he can, like, build on that from. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they came away with the most centre clearances last season, so that's, yep, just having, yeah, 2 elites is great. But have you heard anything from Reece around how he's looking to maximise the output between those two or in the midfield?
Not a lot. I mean, the midfield is quite a dynamic line. There's a lot to kind of work around when it comes to that. I mean, we've also got not just Chuck and Claude's, we've got, you know, Lucy and Mads, and a lot of the girls that work through that midfield work really, really hard. I think it's more about not any one person being the sole responsibility of that kind of stuff. Like, we've obviously got Loz Bella being our ruck, and we all listen to her when it comes to that kind of stuff. She's the one that's going up and getting the ball. So there's so many different kind of aspects that are going into that midfield, and I think Shori's doing a very good job with them. But yeah, Chuck and Claude's are just incredible. They are so skilled and so fast, and I think anyone that runs up into Charlie's space is just, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
she's really learning how to hone into that at the moment, and she's become quite a powerful player, and so is Claude's, yeah.
And I guess then also new face coming in Lily Mithen joining.
Yep.
How's she settled in?
Oh, she's settled straight in. She's a crack-up. She's such good company. She's just, she knows how to get around the girls. She's got such a great mindset around the game, and not only, like, on the field and how she kind of views the game and what she can see and all that kind of stuff, but she's got just such a lovely personality outside of footy, and she's always inclusive of everybody, and it's so nice to have, you know, someone that's coming into a new space, obviously, but still being quite a confident person in who she is, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, cool. And then I guess, like, on sadder news, seeing Daisy Darcy do her ACL,
yeah,
quite unfortunate there. Shame that she won't be coming back for the season. How is she coming along with rehab-wise?
She's doing good. She's obviously, like, we're all out on the track in contact, like, in drills and all that kind of stuff, but she's right alongside us. She's standing there yelling at us what we're doing right, what we're doing, what we could be doing better, not necessarily what we're doing wrong. But she's coming along amazingly. Like, we do our rotations and stuff through our, you know, treatment blocks and our gym blocks and all that kind of stuff, and she's still very much a part of it, and she's just always got a smile on her face. It's so good.
I feel like the Suns will probably miss her kind of strong kickoff halfback there.
Oh yeah, you can't beat it. She's just, that boot is just elite.
Yeah. Has there been any talk around, like, how, I know, like, you know, everyone's getting to know each other and kind of rotating through the roles a bit, mm-hmm, but has there been anyone that's kind of stood out as a leading player to kind of take on that?
Not really. We've definitely centered ourselves this year around just being better for each other. There's not necessarily one person. Like, there's some people that will be very vocal one week and then quite quiet the next week. And it's just a great opportunity in this preseason for us all to just get better at leading each other, not just like one person leading the team. And I think we've we've definitely led in that aspect. There's so many different people, so many different voices to hear and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to be quite a hard decision. I don't know how the coaches and stuff are going to, or how we're going to go about that. But I think honestly, there is not one person that I think stands out. I think we're all genuinely stepping up to the plate and doing really, really well in that aspect.
Yeah. Sounds like a good problem to have.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's too many choices, to be honest.
But I am actually going to force you to pick one, because the last question that we do for all of our interviewees is, if you could nominate a player that you think is going to have a breakout year, a massive season, make a big impact, who do you think it would be? And I interviewed Lauren Bella last year and she said Charlotte Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you reckon it is this season?
I reckon breakout year. I reckon Heidi Talbot. She's just coming in as a draftee and all that kind of stuff. She's, for such a young player and such a, I was talking to obviously fellow forward line, Jamie Stanton. We were talking about this the other day in our forwards review that, you know, she's come into such an intimidating space as a young player. And obviously, like, I was in that space last year, obviously being a little bit older than some of the other girls, it's quite an intimidating situation to be in where you're coming in, you know, that players around you know, not that they know a whole bunch more than you, but that they're quite comfortable with what they know. And Heidi's just come in and she's very good at giving feedback. It doesn't matter who she's giving the feedback to. She'll be talking to Stano about what things she could be doing better. And Stano's been here pretty much since the start, if not she has been here since the start. Yeah. So she's coming through and she's learning how to get through to herself on certain things. Like, there's obviously still things that she's working on within her own kind of craft, and she's in our craft blocks and she's talking to the coaches about how she could get better. She's, you know, in our treatment blocks and stuff, and we have time, we do skills, and she's on one-on-one skills constantly, and she's just trying to get so much better. And I think she's doing really well. There's just so much potential there, and she's just absolutely sliding in on that.
Fantastic. In fantasy world, we love watching out for players and just waiting for them to go big, both from a fantasy perspective and from an AFLW career perspective. So awesome. I will be keeping an eye on Heidi this year then.
Yep.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for the chat, Tae.
No, no worries. Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Yeah, really interesting interview there. And we also forgot to say who probably the biggest recruit for the Suns is, which is they've got a new coach.
Oh, yes, of course. How could we leave that one out? Reece Shaw, great pickup by Mel in that interview there. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I mean, I think this is a huge pickup for the Suns, because he was pretty spectacular in his time at North Melbourne with their men's program before he left the club. I think it's going to be a big pickup for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully it brings a bit of excitement back. And Taya Oliver's a player that does bring the excitement. We were super excited to get Taya on the show. And such a fascinating story to get there as well. So, I think there's a bit of positivity about the Gold Coast, but still a bit of water to go under the bridge as well.
Yeah, and it was great getting her insight and some of the other younger players at the club, one of whom is our number one player on our most relevant for fantasy list for the Suns. Who have you got up there?
Yeah, the number one player at the Gold Coast for me has to be Havana Harris. She was regarded as just about the best player in the draft, and we joked about it before the interview. They traded away pick two and then still got to use pick two, essentially. But Havana Harris, incredible talent. A real unicorn, as they say. Plays in the ruck, plays in the midfield, plays up forward, does everything. You watch her highlights and she takes the ruck taps like, you know, the best in the business, and then basically becomes another midfielder. Moves like a Charlie Rowbottom, who we'll talk about shortly. But you can, even with a little bit of a higher price because of the high drafting, you'd assume that most people will be locking her in as probably, it possibly an on-field option, if not a bench option.
Yeah, sometimes I'm turned off by people having multiple roles, but you don't know where they're going to sit. But I feel like she's such a talent. The Suns are just going to make sure that she's around the ball. So I'm really excited to see her this season.
Absolutely. And I also just mentioned my number two player, which is Charlie Rowbottom. I mean, what a superstar Charlie Rowbottom is. Everyone knows what you're going to get with Charlie Rowbottom. And that's basically a midfielder who's going to score highly, probably be around that 100 average again, if not higher. An easy set and forget at the start of the year if you want one slightly cheaper than your Ebony Marinoffs, but otherwise, can't really go wrong with Charlie Rowbottom.
Yeah, I think she's also got, I mean, the whole Suns team do have such a great fixture to start the year. West Coast, Sydney, Port Adelaide, the Giants and Carlton in the first five rounds of the season. I think she could get off to an absolute flyer.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Suns midfield's quite an interesting one. And for that reason, my number three player that I've picked is a player I've sort of gone up and down on a bit, because when we were talking about this originally, I was a bit hesitant to put this player there, but I've actually come around to it, and that's Lily Mithen, the new recruit. So last year, Lily Mithen sort of lost her spot in that Melbourne midfield, just playing sort of on the wing a bit prior to that, averaging around, you know, in the mid-60s. And last year, she somehow got shunted out to the forward line. And this is what kind of gives me a bit of hope. So the first thing is there's a chance that she might be listed as forward. If that's the case, could be fantastic value. But even as a midfielder, she averaged a career-high 80 points in season 6 and has always averaged pretty much above 60 other than her first two seasons and an injury-interrupted season 4. So already there's at least sort of 5 to 10 points worth of value there. So could be a really interesting mid-priced option. Role's going to be important. If she gets into that center bounce combination, fantastic. But even out on the wing, there's still some potential there for Lily Mithen.
Yeah, there's a lot of different spots she could be playing. So I think that's going to be an interesting preseason watch to see where she ends up.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of preseason watch, this is an interesting one. I put at number four because it was a player that I did not have on my radar at all, despite the fact that we know the Gold Coast had such a strong draft hand. But that interview with Taya Oliver has put me onto Heidi Talbot. Now, Heidi Talbot, highly rated as a draftee, their second pick in the draft. But the way Taya Oliver spoke about it, it sounds like she's a potential chance to be replacing Daisy Darcy in that mid-half-back role. Good ball user, good speed. Started in her draft year as sort of a half-forward, before moving to the halfback line and played really, really well in the juniors competition. Should be priced at bottom price. Even if she is just a midfielder, could be a midfield rookie that makes a fair bit of money, especially in a fairly decent role, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, Daisy Darcy is a very prolific ball winner for the Suns, so her absence really leaves a lot of opportunity. If Heidi has got it, then that's a really, really exciting one for our starting squads.
Exactly. And the way Reshaw makes up his team is going to be super interesting because, as we know, new coaches could mean absolutely anything. All of the previous things that we've thought about certain players could go out the door. And that's why my number five pick, I put Lucy Single. Because Lucy Single is a player who I rate very, very highly as a midfielder. Yet oftentimes under Cameron Joyce, she was stuck in the role as a tagger, which is good for tackles, not great for getting the ball. This is for a player who last year had a game where she had 31 disposals and 10 tackles against Collingwood. Yes, it is against Collingwood, but followed it up with a 22 disposal, 8 tackle game against Essendon, where she scored 103, following on from the previous game, which was 115. She has had a fairly decent run in that middle patch there when they had a favourable fixture. So Carlton, GWS, Collingwood, and then Essendon. 95, 85, and then those 200s. Followed by 95 against another good team, Hawthorn. I look at this and say, if Reshaw wants to use Lucy Single as a genuine midfielder, yes, she averaged, I think it was 83 last year, I think there's a 90-plus averaging midfielder there.
Oh, it's an exciting one. She definitely has the talent for it. It's one that could definitely get you off to an early start in the year.
I like that pick. That could be a classic one where you pick her early. She has a great first month. As you've said, Jono, they've got a pretty good fixture to start, and you might be able to eke out, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 worth of money in a couple of weeks, and that's all you need. Straight up to another premium, you've saved yourself a bit of money, or she might just keep scoring. Who knows? It is a risky one, but it is potentially something you can do that might be a little bit left of center, which everyone knows I love going a bit left of center when it comes to picking my fantasy team. Does it work? Rarely. But when it does, it's amazing. Speaking of players that score well rarely, but when it does, it's amazing. Jono, your host special is... It's going to be a bit triggering for a few long-term fantasy coaches, I'll say that.
Oh, it is, and with good reason. This is my pick this year is Katie Lynch, oof, who has been the bane of our backlines for last season. But I think that there is a lot of explainable reasons why she didn't perform last year, and I'm fairly excited by what she can do this year. So last year, just the average of 41, not what you want to see, but she did arrive at the Suns with an Achilles issue, and it was clearly hampering her all preseason and then throughout the season. I think she missed rounds 3, 5, and 6A in her double week. So, I mean, that's an absolute killer. But the previous two seasons, she'd averaged 54 and 62. And the key thing that I've got here is if we look at her numbers without Daisy Darcy in the side, and the reason I've done this is because no one had more rebound 50s for the Suns last year than Daisy Darcy. But she's not going to be playing this year. After that, it was Katie Lynch. So if she picks up just a little bit in that area, then those two games without Darcy, she went 67 and 53. And that was against some pretty good opposition in Port Adelaide and North Melbourne. So I really think there's an opportunity there if she's managed to keep herself fit this offseason. There's just the concern that she's going to end up as that lockdown key defender again.
Yeah, I kind of love this pick for the same reason I've said with Lucy Single, which is new coach, potential for new roles. Katie Lynch has been a player in the past. I won't say a consistent scorer, but can be a high scorer. Those two games that you said at the end of the year, Jono, is what we expect week in, week out from a player like Katie Lynch. She's clearly talented enough to be a 60 averaging defender. So you could easily get 20 points worth of value here. You could lose money on Katie Lynch as well. That's the biggest problem.
It is a huge risk. But look, I'm ready to be hurt again. I think that's the crux here of it. So I'm going to be watching her very closely this preseason and hoping in those practice games that we can see a little bit of a role forming there. Anyway, I think that's going to do us for the Gold Coast Suns this year. Will, any predictions as to where they're going to finish up this year?
I can't see them pushing back into finals, but I have my hopes for at least a rise up the ladder. So I would say probably somewhere in the 10 to 14 range.
Yeah, I think there's too much talent to stay down in that bottom couple spots on the ladder. So I'm excited to see some of these rookies flourish this year. We're looking forward to speaking to you all again tomorrow. I think we have, the GWS Giants. It'll be a great episode there. So tune in tomorrow and we'll catch you next time.
Excellent. See everyone.